12. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Sri Radha Thakurani is the embodiment of Mahabhava. She is a repository of all good qualities and the crest jewel among all the lovely consorts of Lord Krishna. Purport. The unadulterated action of the Ladini Shakti is displayed in the dealings of the damsels of Raja and Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost participant in that transcendental group. The essence of Ladini Shakti is love of Godhead. The essence of love of Godhead is Bhav, or transcendental sentiment, and the highest pitch of that Bhav is called Mahabhav. Srimati Radharani is the personified embodiment of these three aspects of transcendental consciousness. She is therefore the highest principle in love of Godhead and is the supremely lovable object of Sri Krishna. Om Jnanati Nirandhasya Jnananjani Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadam Maiham Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara, Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I can try to speak something about the infinite glories of Srimati Radharani. I'll speak this class in three parts. First, I will talk about the tattva of Srimati Radharani. Then I'll talk briefly about parakya ras, which Srimati Radharani demonstrates through the emotion of Mahabhav, as is mentioned in this verse. And then I will talk about one pastime from the Anandavan Champu, which demonstrates the sublime service attitude of Srimati Radharani. So firstly, the concept of God is talked about in the various theistic traditions of the world. But that conception is usually quite vague. And what to speak of knowing about those connected with God, as is revealed in the Vaishnava scriptures, and specifically in the Gaudiya Vaishnava scriptures, we have a full revelation of God in not just who He is, but who His associates are, who what He does. So, a distinctive feature of the revelation of God given in the Vaishnava tradition specifically, or in the Vedic tradition at large in general, is that God is understood inclusively, not just as a masculine divinity, but as a divine couple, masculine and feminine. And in the other Vaishnava traditions, also this conception is there. But for example, in the Sri Vaishnava tradition, now there are two groups, and some consider Lakshmi Devi to be a jiva. Another group considers Lakshmi Devi to be in the same category as Vishnu. So in the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, there is no such confusion or ambiguity. Now God is Chaitanya Charitamrita described that Krishna and Radharani are non-different. Both of them are the same divine person, and they are both the dual manifestations of the same one absolute truth. So the understanding that God has a consort who is also God. This often there is the tendency to in the Western religious traditions, which are prominently monotheistic. So Hinduism is often thought of as polytheistic. You people are so foolish, you worship so many gods. How can there be many gods? There has to be only one supreme. So actually, if we consider the Vaishnava understanding of God, the categories of monotheism and polytheism are inadequate to explain properly the conception of God. Yes, we accept one, the Vaishnava scriptures do reveal one God, but it is not just monotheism, because this one God manifests in many forms. So, Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam. So, one of Srila Prabhupada's scholarly disciples, Garuda Prabhu, he mentions that if at all we want to use this terminology to describe the Vaishnava understanding of God, we have to say not just monotheism, it is polymorphic monotheism. There's one God who manifests in many forms. And not just, because there's not just one God, there's a divine couple. So it's not just polymorphic monotheism, it's polymorphic bimonotheism. There's one God who manifests as two, and those two manifest in many forms. So, actually the Vedic conception of God is, as a revelation of God, is very profound. And not only are there many details about God revealed, but there is also a special intimacy in the revelation of God. The concept of Leela is the unique contribution of Vedic theology to world theology. There is no such thing as Leela, the conception of Leela. God always does activities. But Leela is a special category of activity which God does, wherein He subordinates His divinity for the sake of intimacy. He is God, but in the reciprocations that embody Leela, He does not act as God. He acts as just another member of His community. And in that mood, there is the intensification of affection. And so God is supreme, but by His supreme will, the awareness of His supremacy is concealed not only from His associates, but also from Him. In one sense, Krishna can never forget anything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani cha Arjuna bhavishyani cha bhutani mam tu vedana kashyana. So, Krishna says in 7.26 that He knows everything. But this is in terms of tattva, in terms of philosophical understanding. But in terms of rasa, in terms of relishing the reciprocation of emotions, Krishna Leela can be understood as a kind of transcendental play. Now, when there is a play, there may be a particular person who takes the role of an actor. And that actor, the more consummate, the more high, excellent the actor is, that actor enters into the role of the character that one is depicting. And the actor forgets who I am and thinks I am that particular character that I am depicting. So, in a play, there is a director and there is an actor. And Krishna Leela, so now there is a director who is not visible. Usually, there's an actor who is visible. And beyond that, there is a script writer. The script writer is one who writes the script according to which the director directs and the actor acts. So in Krishna Leela, Krishna and his associates are all the actors. Yogamaya is the director. At the start of the Rasa Panchadhyaya, in chapter 29 of the 10th canto, The verse begins, Yogamayam Upashritam. Krishna took shelter of Yogamaya. The whole theme of the Bhagavatam is that everyone and everything takes shelter of Krishna. Everything is Ashrita and Krishna is Ashraya. But the Rasa Panchadhyaya is going to depict such an exalted pastime in which the supreme Ashraya is taking Ashraya of someone else. Krishna, who is the supreme, he takes shelter of Yogamaya. He takes Yogamaya Upashrita. What this means is, like the actor acts according to the direction of the director. So Krishna becomes an actor who takes shelter of Yogamaya. That means the way Yogamaya wants, Krishna acts accordingly. So if Yogamaya wants Krishna to forget, I am God, I am simply the son of Yashoda, and if Yashoda beats me, what will happen to me? So then Krishna actually feels like that. It is not that Krishna is just putting on an act. Krishna, he is actually entering into that feeling. Now if Krishna forgets that he is supreme, then Prabhupada would often, while refuting Mayavadis, who say that we will meditate and become God, or we will meditate and we will realize we are God. So if God can forget that he is God, then how is he God? So the twist here is, Krishna is the actor, Yogamaya is the director. But again, Krishna is the script writer. So, Yogamaya is directing Krishna according to Krishna's will. So, in that sense, even when Krishna is not in control, he is still in control. Even when Krishna has forgotten that he is Krishna, he has forgotten according to his own will. So this is achintya bheda bhed within the realm of Leela. That Krishna is simultaneously God and he is not God. So within his Leela, in terms of tattva, Krishna is the highest absolute truth. But in terms of Leela, Krishna subordinates himself to Srimati Radharani. She is the supreme object of love for him, and their bond of love is so intimate that Radharani's love for Krishna conquers Krishna. The spiritual relationships are sometimes reflected in some ways in this world. So once I saw in a person's house, a person I said, I am the master of this house and I have my wife's permission to say so. So, in a similar sense, the Krishna is God, but in the spiritual world, in the highest realm, Krishna is controlled by Srimati Radharani. And this is a very esoteric understanding. And that's why many of you may know the pastime of Jayadev Goswami when he was writing. If you go to Vrindavan, to Mana Mandir, Radharani was upset with Krishna. She was angry with Krishna. And Krishna put his head down to seek forgiveness from her. Now this is such a revolutionary idea that God can put his head down on someone's feet. Jayadev Goswami, although he was an exalted devotee who knew the exalted position of Srimati Radharani, still he hesitated, how can I write this? And he hesitated to write. But Krishna was so eager to broadcast the glories of Srimati Radharani that Krishna came in the form of Jayadev Goswami to his house when Jayadev Goswami had gone out to bathe. And his wife was surprised, just now you went to bathe, how did you come back so quickly? So, how did you come back so quickly? And then he did not reply. Then she served him prasad and he said, I'll go and write. And he wrote those verses where he completed the meditation of Jayadev Goswami. And when Jayadev Goswami came and saw that what Krishna had actually done, he was inundated with ecstasy. So such is the glory, supreme glory of Srimati Radharani. She is God, fully God, in feminine form. And in terms of the reciprocation of rasa, she is higher than even Krishna. Now, the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition explains based on the Bhagavatam that Krishna and Radharani are not consorts. Radharani is not the consort of Krishna in a normal sense. Their rasa is called parakiya rasa. So at first glance, this might seem to be immoral. Oh, a man who is having a relationship with a woman who is the wife of someone else. So this is also a part of the play, of the part of Leela. The Vaishnava Acharya explained that love is expressed and experienced when there is opposition to love. Normally, in our day-to-day reciprocations, we will experience love in the routine course of events. But sometimes in the routine course, we just go along with our activities that we may not express that love. But say if someone gets a disease, someone gets a, say, cancer or something like that, then we all are jolted. And there's upswelling of affection when there is obstacles. So the same principle is applied in the transcendental realm, that when Krishna and Radharani, when they have their relationships, at that time, although from the point of tattva, they are the divine consort. But for a husband and wife, there is no obstacle in meeting each other, in interacting with each other. So that love, to intensify that, to increase the excitement in that, in the transcendental pastimes, it is arranged as if Radharani belongs to someone else. So continuing the metaphor of the play, like say a man and a woman are newly married to each other. But in a play, that woman is depicted as being the wife of some other man. And then they have a relationship within that play. So within the scope of the play, it appears as if the relationship is immoral. But actually, their relationship is natural. So similarly, from the point of tattva, there is nothing wrong in the relationship of Krishna and Radharani. But for the enhancement of Leela, just as Krishna subordinates his divinity so that there can be intensification of affection, similarly, Krishna covers the awareness of his natural relationship with Radharani and creates a divine illusion of there being some other relationship, by which the obstacles within the expression of love, they will increase the excitement and increase the ecstasy within that love. Just like if a small elephant is growing up, as that elephant is growing up, the elephant may not be aware of its strength. A baby elephant may be tied by a rope, but as that elephant grows, it is tied by a rope to a pole. Now, as the elephant grows, it can easily break the pole. But it may not be aware of its strength. So when there is danger, say the elephant is in a barn and the barn is on fire. When there is danger, then there is inner realization and outer expression of one's strength, of the elephant's strength. Because there is mortal danger at that time, the elephant pulls. And as it pulls, oh, this pole, which I thought was immovable, it is moving now. It pulls. There is inner realization. I have so much strength. And there is others who have seen, they may never thought this elephant could have so much strength. There is outer expressions. So similarly, the love that is there between the divine couple, Krishna and Radha, with Radharani, that love, there is inner realization and outer expression of that love when there is opposition. So the parakiya ras is simply a part of the divine leela for intensifying their mutual love. So in that sense, it is not immoral, it is transmoral. It is not below morality, it is above morality. It is supreme morality. So now, here the verse which I recited, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami refers to Radha as Radha Thakurani. And Srila Prabhupada translates that as Srimati Radharani. The translation of Radha as Srimati Radharani is actually Srila Prabhupada's theological contribution. The previous acharyas, if you look at Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's writing, he directly uses the word Radha. Prasadana Saraswati Thakur would usually use the word Shri Radha. But Prabhupada uses Srimati Radharani. One of my friends is a Shri Vaishnava, and he says, you people have got it wrong. For Radha, you use a double honorific. Srimati before and Rani after. But for Krishna, you use nothing. No Shri Krishna, no Bhagwan Krishna. Why you just simply Krishna? How is that? So actually, even the subtle way Srila Prabhupada referred to the divine couple, he reveals the import of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Now we have Raghunatha Goswami who says that actually, we are not worshippers of Krishna. We are worshippers of Srimati Radharani. And because Radharani loves Krishna, so we respect Krishna also. So, Prabhupada is this very reverential form of reference, Srimati Radharani, to convey this deep Gaudiya Vaishnava import that God's highest devotee is supremely worshipable. And it is by her grace that we approach God. Of course, another reason for this reverential reference is that often because of the parakeya nature of the relationship, there is misunderstanding. And the Radha-Krishna relationship is sometimes thought of as very cheap and immoral. In India, in many Bollywood movies, the theme of Radha's love for Krishna is often used to talk about love which is extramarital. And this is a very mundane, reductionistic notion of a very divine revelation. So to avoid that kind of conceptions also, Prabhupada uses very reverential term, Srimati Radharani. And another indication of the reverence with which Srila Prabhupada referred to Radharani is, if we look at the Bhagavad Gita, in the whole Bhagavad Gita as it is, the reference to Radharani comes only once. And where is that? In the introduction, in the prayer Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. That is the only place where Srila Prabhupada refers to Radharani. He is creating systematically, step by step, the foundation by which we can get a proper understanding of Radharani. He gives the fundamental foundational Vedic philosophy in the Bhagavad Gita. Then he doesn't talk about Radharani much. In the Bhagavatam, he does talk about Radharani, but following Sukadeva Goswami's not much referring to Radharani, he also doesn't refer much. But in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a detailed revelation. So the Parakyaras demonstrates the utter transcendence of spiritual love to all worldly conceptions. Both the worldly conception of who God is, the worldly conception is God is the Supreme Person. But God becomes subordinate. And the worldly conception of morality, that there should not be anything immoral, the Parakyaras in Krishna Lila, it goes utterly beyond worldly conceptions of God and of morality and demonstrates the summit of transcendental love. In the Anand Vrindavan Champu, which is a very beautiful poetic compilation by Kavi Karanapur, he takes the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam and elaborates it. Our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas have extensively dealt with the 10th canto. And they have done it in three major ways. One is, write verse by verse commentary on the 10th canto. So as is, say, the first commentary in our tradition was Srinath Chakravarti's commentary Chaitanya Manjusha. Much more celebrated Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, Sararta Darshini. Then Vishwanatha Chakravarti wrote not only on the 10th canto, but on the full Bhagavatam. The Sanatan Goswami wrote a commentary in the 10th canto, which is Vaishnav Toshan. So one way is by writing commentaries which go verse by verse. Another way is by a continuous retelling of the past tense. That means the retelling is derived from the Bhagavatam, but there is no verse and translation. Just a smooth flow describing the past tense. And the third is the further expansion of the past tense based on their own revelations. So Anand Vrindavan Champu falls primarily in the second category, where the 10th canto pastimes are retold and also elaborated. So here Kavi Karanapur describes the first time after Krishna and Radharani, they came to their Kaishore, their youthful age, how they first met each other in the house of Rishabhanu and Kirtida. So these are two different communities, and once Rishabhanu Maharaj had the desire that let us invite Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda and their whole family to our house for prasad. And then Kirtida Devi, she sent her messengers, her maid servants, to Yashoda Mani. And they conveyed a very respectful message. They said, Yashoda, you are Yashoda. You are the bestower of fame. And whatever misfortune may be there in our life, it will all be dispelled if you kindly grace our house. Please come for prasad to our house tomorrow. It's an elaborate message. I'm just telling in brief. So she requested, and then Yashoda Mai, being very pleased with the gracious invitation, agreed. And that evening when Krishna came from playing with his friend, Krishna said, tomorrow we have to go to Kirtida's house for food. So tell your friends that you will not be coming to play with them. So Krishna said that, oh, how can I go for lunch without my friends? Now I will not go. Now Yashoda knew that Krishna was playing. So Yashoda decided, I'll also play with him. Yes. Yashoda said that, no, actually, you have so many friends. And Kirtida and Rishabhanu, they have not invited all your friends. So we cannot take all of them as uninvited guests. So if you cannot leave them, then I will leave you. Ah, this was unexpected. So Krishna did not speak anything. And then he started thinking that, oh, I will not get to see Radharani. I will not get to go to their house. And then he did not speak anything. The next morning, when Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda were going, Krishna quietly sneaked along without speaking anything. And Yashoda Mai just saw and smiled. You know, sometimes in material society, people often are fond of playing the role of matchmakers. The people try to match this boy with this girl, this woman with this man. So this also comes in a transcendental sense. The whole of Vrindavan and all the Vrajavasis are striving to act as matchmakers for Radha and Krishna. So now Yashoda Mai knew that Krishna will come, and Krishna came along. And soon they reached the outskirts of Rishabhanu Maharaj's kingdom, and he came out to welcome them. He embraced Krishna, smelt his hair, and then he tilted his head to Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and welcomed them into their house. And they offered them water to freshen up. And then Yashoda said, I would like to see the kitchen. What all have you cooked? So they went to the kitchen, and there Srimati Radharani had cooked a variety of items. So when Yashoda Mai saw all the items that had been cooked over there, she was very pleased. She said that, you have indeed perfected the art of femininity. The cooking that you have done is super excellent. And she saw that Radharani was assisted by her sakhis. They're all very cooperatively and carefully cooking. She praised them also. And at that time, she saw that Radharani had become exhausted by the cooking. So she was sweating slightly. So at that time she turned to Kirtida and she said, no, Radharani
Actually, I'm using Radha Rani, but when Yashoda refers, she doesn't refer Rani over there. As I said, she says Radha. She says Radha. No, Radha is so tender like a flower. So why have you put her to the task of cooking where there are so many fires? Just see, she has become utterly shriveled. So at that time, Krishna says, yes, I was also thinking that whether I should ask Radha to cook. But when Rishabhanu Maharaj decided to invite you, so out of a play, playfully, he told Radha, you should also cook something. And we thought it will just be a play, but we never knew that she was going to cook so many items. And then Yashoda said, okay. But when you saw that she was cooking so many, she was cooking practically the entire meal, you should have stopped her. See? No, actually, this is not the entire meal. This is only a small item. The big meal is being cooked elsewhere. There are many more items that are being cooked. So Radharani has cooked only the special items. And the special items were so many. And then, by this time, Nanda Maharaj, I know Krishna had come with Balaram, and one of his sakhas had sneaked in anyway. Who was that? Madhumangal, he had just sneaked along. He's a Brahmana, and Brahmana Bhojana Priya. So Brahmanas love to eat. So when he heard there's going to be a feast, he just invited himself along. So Krishna, Nanda Maharaj was sitting, then on one side Krishna was sitting, on the other side Balaram was there, and next to Krishna, there was his friend, Madhumangal. Now Anandindavan Champu refers to him by many different names at different times. So one of the names is Kusumasava. So Batu also. So now Krishna had also brought his parrot with him. And Krishna's parrot was on his shoulder. So he was in between Madhumangal and Krishna. And then all of them had settled down for taking food. So at that time, Kirtida said to Yashoda that you have come here, you are the eldest among us. So if you would like, you can take charge of serving. So now Yashoda looked and with a mischievous smile, she said, oh, Radha should serve. So Radharani became very sad. She said, no, I will serve. But I will serve you. I will serve the Queen of Vrindavan. So here, in this case, Queen of Vrindavan is, Rajeshwari is Yashodamai, not yet Radharani. He says, so Yashodamai said, yes, you can do that when I am taking food. But before that, you should serve Nanda Maharaj and Balaram and Krishna. So now she became very shy. She says, no, I cannot serve. So Yashodamai said, see, your mother has trained you in the art of cooking. Now, I will train you in the art of serving. So, now when she spoke this way, there was no way Radha could refuse. So then still, she was very shy. So, Krishna was on one side, Nanda Maharaj was here, Balaram was on the other side. So as soon as the serving started, Radharani immediately went toward the side of Balaram. And she started serving everyone over there. So when Yashodamai saw this, she caught Radharani. She says, serve on this side also. So, so then, Radharani came and now she had these items which were the special items which were being cooked by Radharani. So then he served to Krishna, served to Madhumangal, and Madhumangal started eating. Oh, he said, this is so delicious. I have never eaten food like this. So now Madhumangal often creates a scene. And sometimes Krishna feels embarrassed of Madhumangal. Behave yourself, don't create such a scene. Be silent. So Madhumangal gets even more angry. He said, how can I be silent? He says, this food is so glorious that even if I had 100 mouths, that would not be enough to glorify this food. And I have only one mouth and you are saying, tell me to shut that down also. So he said that this food is so delicious that this, I have understood that Radha is none other than Mahalakshmi. She is the goddess of fortune. Only the goddess of fortune could have cooked food like this. And then he said, actually, eating this food has filled me with both ecstasy and anxiety.
Krishna looked at him, what is going on? So then he is, there are some people who speak even if they are not prompted. And if they are prompted, they speak all the more. So Krishna was trying to neglect Madhumangal, but when he made such a peculiar statement, you know, it demanded a response. I am filled with both ecstasy and anxiety. So why is that? So Krishna looked at Madhumangal, and Madhumangal took that as an encouragement. He says, I am filled with ecstasy because this food is more delicious than any food that I have ever eaten. And I am filled with anxiety because I am thinking, after eating this food, how will I ever be satisfied with any other food? So while this was going on, sometimes some people want to speak something and then they hesitate to speak. So it's like their throat moves a little bit. So the words are coming to their throat, but they're not coming out. So the parrot that was there on Krishna's shoulder, the parrot moved its neck forward as if to speak something. And Yashoda said, oh, Dvijiraj, do you want to speak something? Now, Madhumangal, oh, Yashoda Mai has called me Dvijiraj. The word Dvija can refer to, Dvija can refer to a Brahmana, and it can refer to a bird. A bird is also born twice because it is born from its first born inside the shell, inside the egg, and then outside. So Yashoda Mai laughed and he said, I am not referring to you, Madhu. I am referring to the parrot. So Madhumangal goes, you are Dvijiraj, huh? I will see you later. So again, Yashoda, so Dvijiraj, what do you want to say? So this parrot said, you know, here a great offense has been committed and yet everybody is silent. So what is the offense? He said, that parrot said that Radha has been compared to Mahalakshmi, but actually Radha is the source of Mahalakshmi. So to actually, if there's any comparison, Mahalakshmi should be compared to Radha, not Radha to Mahalakshmi. So this is aparad. Now when Radharani heard this, she became very bashful and she immediately went away from there. She went into the inner quarters where the food was there, and seeing this, when Yashoda went over there, and he said, yes, he said, it is the sign of a cultured girl that when she is praised, she becomes bashful. But oh Radha, there is no need for you to become bashful, because the praise that is offered is all true. The praise that is offered is all true. As please come and serve once again. And then Madhumangal ate with great delight, and Krishna was relishing not just the food, he was relishing Radharani's love that was being offered through that food. So everybody tasted that food, but the way Krishna tasted that food was special, was unique. And Kavi Karnapur describes that, so one by one different items were being served, and every item was irresistibly delicious. So Kavi Karnapur says that prasad, normally we think of prasad as delicious in terms of taste. But he says that prasad should have much more attributes than taste. The first is, even before we see it, prasad should captivate us by its fragrance. So we're sitting and suddenly we feel a fragrance. Hey, where is this fragrance coming from? What is this fragrance? And then, when we look around, then we see that, okay, the next thing is, prasad should catch us by its sight. You know, it should look attractive. So, not only should each item look attractive, but all the items should be arranged in a visually appealing way. And then, when we touch it, each prasadam item should be, to the tactile sense, as is appropriate for that item. Some items should be soft, some should be crispy. Sometimes when food is not cooked nicely, that just crispy becomes soft and falls apart. That which is meant to be soft, it is hard. But he says, then, in this way, after attracting the heart through the smell, through the sight, through the touch, then the culminating experience of honoring prasad
is when we taste it. So the taste is the fullest experience of the richness of prasad. So the food that Radharani was offering, had cooked and offered, that was the highest prasad. And Nanda Maharaj, as he's honoring each item, he was praising profusely. So, because Nanda Maharaj was the eldest, Krishna and Balaram, they were not speaking. They were literally younger. And Madhu Mangal was the only person who was among the younger people who was speaking intermittently. And then they finished their prasad. And after finishing the prasad, then, as Radharani had said, she served Rohini and Yashoda. And then they took prasad. And then Kirtida and Radharani, they took prasad inside. And afterwards, after Bodhayantaha Parasparam, after the various discussions, then just before Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, they were about to depart, Yashoda went to meet Kirtida. And she told her, you know, I think Batu is right. I think Madhu Mangal is right. Now he said that after tasting this prasad, he said, how will I be satisfied with anything else? And I saw how Krishna tasted this prasad. How Krishna tasted this food. How Krishna relished this food. You know, I have cooked food for him so many times. And he has eaten food happily. But never before have I seen him eating the food with such relish as I have seen him eating the food that has been cooked by Radha. So there is a transition in every man's life when, for him, the most important woman in his life changes from his mother to his wife. So now here, Yashoda Mai was sometimes, if the mother does not acknowledge that, then there is a tug of war between the two. But Yashoda Mai here gladly acknowledged that. That's just the natural way life goes. Yashoda Mai said that after Krishna has tasted the food that Radharani has cooked, now he will not be satisfied by anyone else's food. So therefore, said, I request that Radha should come every day to my house. And she should cook for Krishna. Now when Radharani heard this, her heart started dancing in joy. And here, she had served food to Krishna, but it was in a public assembly, so many eyes watching every move. And although her heart was dancing in ecstasy, being in a cultural society, she did not express anything. She just remained silent and bashful. And Kirtida looked at Yashoda and she said, now someone would have raised the question, Radha is an unmarried girl, how can she go to someone else's house to cook food for some other boy? But as I said, yes, there are all these moral principles, but the Brajavasis are ultimately concerned with acting as matchmakers for Krishna and Radharani. So when Kirtida heard this, at that time, she said, oh Yashoda, your pleasure, we are all citizens of Vrindavan and you are our queen. And your pleasure is the purpose of our life. And surely, Radha will be delighted to serve Krishna food every day. Every day I will send Radha to your house, but it is not appropriate that she comes directly to your house. So then they both discussed and then they decided that near Nanda Maharaj's house, there is Pavan Sarovar. And Radharani, instead of coming into the house of Krishna to cook, she will cook over there. And the food that is cooked over there will later be carried and served to Krishna. So Radharani, here, she got, this was the first opportunity that Radharani got to serve Krishna. And she took that opportunity to her fullest ability. And the fruit of service is more service. So what happened to her? The reward was that she got more service. She cooked once for Krishna and she did the service with her full heart. And the result was she got every day the opportunity to serve Krishna. And similarly, in our life, we get certain services. When we chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada told us that the mood of chanting is, oh Krishna, please engage me in your service. Now one devotee once asked me, he said, I already have so much service. You know, I feel afraid of chanting. If I chant and say to Krishna, please give me more service, I say, please give me, I have already too much service. So actually, there is a difference between service and service attitude. Now we are finite human beings. Yes, there are certain services we will be able to do. There are certain services we will not be able to do. That is just because we are finite human beings. When we are praying to Krishna, please engage me in your service, it's more not so much action. Yes, we will express our devotion through action, but it is more of intention. Now when we chant, we desire that, let me do nothing except service to Krishna. And the two aspects to service, let me do nothing except service, and let whatever I do be service. That means there are directly devotional activities which we would like to do. We would like to chant and dance and come to the temple and worship the deities. And we aspire to do these more and more. So let me do nothing but service. But we live in a world where for our own livelihood, for our social obligations, we have to do other things. But those other things, we can imbue with a mood of service. So let me do nothing but service and let everything that I do be service. So it is that mood which of selfless service that Srimati Radharani embodies. And by her blessings, by her mercy, we too can get enriched with that mood of service. When we enjoy the sense objects, when we engage in sense gratification, the contact between the sense and the sense object, yehi sansparsha jab hoga. That is a physical contact. Now, when we want to connect with Krishna and experience spiritual happiness, sukhena brahma samsparsham atyantam sukham ashnute, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that atyantam sukha, the supreme happiness is experienced when there is brahma samsparsha, there is spiritual contact. And that spiritual contact means that it is a contact in intention. When our heart is connected with Krishna with the intention to serve, then whether we are externally in a place where we can render service, where the place is externally devotional or not, our heart will be linked with Krishna. So Radharani, if we see in her life, at least as it is manifested in this world, she, in her childhood and her youth, she got, because it was a conservative society, she did not have much interaction with Krishna. Only the Rasalila was performed at night. And then as she came to age where she might have got married to Krishna, Krishna left. So actually the contact she had with Krishna was very little from an external perspective. But the real contact was within. Her heart was completely absorbed with the longing for Krishna, with the longing to serve Krishna. And Radharani says in one prayer, I conclude with this, that she says that, oh Krishna, in separation from you, I cannot live. I should fall and die. And yet, the purpose of my existence is serving you. And because you have promised that you will come back. So if you come back, and you see that I am not there to serve you, then you will feel sadness, you will feel unhappiness, and I cannot tolerate that unhappiness. And that is why, although separation from you is killing me, still I will not let it kill me. I will not give up this body. She gives this poetically, she says, Krishna, if an animal is trapped in a burning cage, that animal will either burn to death or that animal will try to escape from the cage. Krishna, when you left, then my whole body and my whole being is in a fire of separation from you. And just as the animal will flee from the cage, I long to flee from this body, give up this body. But your words, I will come back, are like the lock to that cage. They are the lock, because of which I cannot live and I cannot leave. So this at one level seems to be great misery, but it is the supreme ecstasy, because there is the maximum intensification of the remembrance of Krishna in separation. So separation does to love what wind does to fire. Separation does to love what wind does to fire. Now, if there is a small fire and a wind comes, if I have a small candle here, the wind will extinguish it. But if there is a big forest fire and then a wind comes, that fire will spread more and more. So like that, Radharani's love is like a forest fire. And the separation from Krishna causes that love, acts like a wind and causes that love to blaze further and bigger and bigger. Now, this is a sentiment that we all aspire for, but we can't imitate. If we think, I'll become separated from devotees and my love will increase. No, our love is like that candle. When the wind of separation comes, it will extinguish that love. So Srila Prabhupada has given us his temples where we can have the association of devotees, where the tender flame of our bhakti for Krishna, that will grow by the loving care, that we, the spiritual vibrations, the spiritual atmosphere that is there in these temples. So I'm grateful to have this opportunity in this glorious temple. Today when I saw so many devotees beholding darshan of Radharani, and I told my relatives, it's the first time I'm coming to America, there are many of my relatives here. So I told them I'm in Alachua. They asked, what is the spelling? So many of them don't even know where is Alachua. So from the material perspective, the place may not be so well known, but that there are hundreds of devotees here, that there is a spiritual community, vibrant spiritual community. From the spiritual perspective, from Krishna's perspective, this is probably among the most important places in the United States. Just as Prabhupada said that from the material point of view, Mayapur is just a small little corner. From the spiritual perspective, it is the capital of the universe, Lord Chaitanya manifested. So similarly, this is a spiritually very potent place, one of the spiritual capitals in the Western world, we could say. And I am very fortunate to be here on this very sacred day to try to offer me some service. If I have committed any mistakes or offenses, please forgive me. Thank you very much. Srimati Radharani ki. Yeah. Thank you.